Oh my goodness, it's Thursday, and you know what that means. If it's Thursday, it's Dr. P on the pod.
Dr. P on the pod, yeah.
I'm so glad it's Thursday. Why? Because I get to talk with you and I get to bring you some great information and a phenomenal guest. And as always, we have a phenomenal guest again this Thursday. This Thursday, you know, March is Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month. Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the topic because over the last, I would say, 2 years maybe, we have really just been talking a lot about multiple myeloma. I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Bristol Myers Squibb. They have really been, we've been on with them on this journey. They've been with us on this journey. Thank them for all their support and their resources that they pour into the Balm and Gilead to help us bring you critical information around multiple myeloma and cell therapy. And I want to give a big shout out to not only Bristol Myers Squibb, but also those churches that we have brought conversation about multiple myeloma to. I remember being up at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Harlem a couple of months ago, and we have been in, we have been in Charlotte, we have been everywhere talking about multiple myeloma. We haven't been everywhere now. Let's not take me too serious. Because I'm so busy, it feels like I've been everywhere. But just thank you to all of the churches that have opened up their doors, and we've had great conversation around this. And we can never, when we look at the high rates of multiple myeloma among African Americans, we can talk about it over and over and over and over again until everybody knows about multiple myeloma. When everybody can talk about multiple myeloma, like you all can talk about hypertension and diabetes, we still have a lot of work to do. So a big shout out to our church partners who have hosted multiple myeloma and cell therapy events, and a real big hug, a big shout out to Bristol Myers Squibb for the folks who always take care of our resources so we can bring you this great information. You know, March is also Women's History Month. And of course, if it's Black History Month or Women's History Month, it's not about a month, it's about a every single day. So we are excited to be lifting up some serious women, those who are already crossed over on the Jordan and those who are still with us. You know, I'm just always excited about just the women in my life. And I, you know, I share, you know, the great Jesse Norman and so many of my dear friends, Cicely Tyson, who have been on this side with me, who have just walked along this path. Dorothy Hyde, who's walked along this path with me. But also, I want to lift up my mama and my aunts and them, Aunt Hattie and Aunt Janie and Aunt Maggie and Aunt Gussie. She was Gertrude, but we used to call her Aunt Gussie. And those are the women in my family who shaped my life, who taught me how to just talk and talk and keep talking, because they would always say, can you just please be quiet? Nessa, can you just please be quiet? At the same time, they were telling me to, asking me what did I think. They taught me how to think and how to give me the power of discernment. And of course, they taught me about a God that was bigger than me. So I want to give out a shout out to the women in my life on this Women's History Month, not only those who have the celebrity status, but those who have celebrity status just the folks like my mama and Aunt Hattie and Aunt Janie and Aunt Lurley and Aunt Maggie and all of them. It's Women's History Month. Make a phone call today before the day is over and call some woman in your life who has really made a difference in your life. Yes, indeed. Guess what, family? It's Thursday. And you know if it's Thursday. Yes, indeed. It's Dr. Pink. And I am on the pod. I'm excited about my guest today. He is Dr. Mikhail. Yes. And affectionately, we call him Dr. Joe. Mm-hmm. We call him Dr. Joe. He's been with me on the Roadmap Tour. I've had him in a few churches. I know at least one or two, I do believe. And Dr. Mikhail is the chief medical officer of the International Myeloma Foundation. In other words, he is a myeloma expert. Dr. Joe, so happy to have you on the pod today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I am so privileged to join you today, my friend. Whether it's in a church, whether it's in a convention center, or whether it's on the pod, I'm always happy to be with Dr. P.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, you bring a joy to me as well. I just love just being in your energy. So let's jump into this discussion because, you know, we will always run out of time. Tell us about multiple myeloma. It's Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month. So let's give some basic facts and then let's just jump right into the 2LRRMM treatment. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So it is indeed Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month, or sometimes we call it Multiple Myeloma Action Month because we want to take action, like talking to Dr. P about this unfortunate disease. So myeloma is a blood cancer, which means it starts in our bone marrow or the factory of our blood. And it's a blood cancer that affects African-American patients twice as much as white patients. So it is much more common for those of us of African-American descent. And it's a challenging disease because it sometimes is very hard to make the initial diagnosis. You know, sometimes with colon cancer, or breast cancer, or prostate cancer, we have something that makes it clear that it's that kind of cancer. But in myeloma, sometimes it's even hard to distinguish from diabetes because people can have kidney troubles, they can have bone pain, they can be fatigued, they can have a low red blood cell count. And so making the diagnosis can be challenging. And then, of course, as I mentioned, it's not yet curable, but we're making big progress. So it's a blood cancer, as I mentioned, that is twice as common in the African-American population, typically causes pain and sometimes can cause kidney damage and a low blood cell count that typically has to be treated with chemotherapy. And so we want people to know about it so they can pick up the signs and symptoms earlier on and they can get the right treatment, because we've had great advances, as you mentioned earlier, great advances in treatment through the kinds of the chemotherapy that we use, stem cell transplants, and now these new really amazing cellular therapies like CAR T-cell therapy that is really changing the nature of this disease.
So before we get into the therapies, tell us, I know I can hear the question right now, why? Why are African Americans twice as much, you know, will get multiple myeloma twice as our rates are higher than whites?
Yeah, so we are still trying to understand that disparity, to be honest. We know that some of it is genetic, and the basis of the fact that we've actually done large epidemiology or screening studies and others in Africa and have found that myeloma is more common. It's not necessarily health lifestyle related. There is a slight association between myeloma and obesity, but people don't earn myeloma per se. There are very few things that we know are particular causes our veterans who have been exposed to Agent Orange, firefighters who've been exposed to a lot of smoke, are really a few of the very small numbers of known causes of myeloma, but we don't really know why it's more common within the African-American population. But importantly, it's also diagnosed a little bit younger in African-Americans. So the average age of diagnosis is about 69, 70, but the average age within African-Americans is about 65. In fact, even a little bit younger within Latino Americans. And so it presents a little bit earlier on. And then lastly, and perhaps most worrisome to me, Dr. P, is that it's not just a question of being at greater risk of it. Because of a delayed diagnosis, because of access to therapies, and as you know, healthcare in general, whether it's systemic racism, the healthcare system, the social determinants of health, right now, a Black man or a Black woman diagnosed with myeloma is expected to live half as long as the same aged white man or white woman.
And why? That disparity. Why? Right there. Why?
Why is the big question we work on every day. And we know that it's, as I say, it's based on partly general health that we know is affected by the healthcare system, the social determinants of health, the systemic racism, but specific to myeloma, why it is the most disparate cancer within the African-American community really comes down to two major things. One, a longer time to make the diagnosis. So the average person sees their primary care doctor three times trying to figure out what's going on before they figure out it's myeloma. And that takes about 6 months. It's 3 to 6 months longer if you're African American or Latino or Hispanic American. And a lot of that has to do with getting access to primary care, getting access to the right testing, making the distinction between myeloma and diabetes, because a lot of the things, those two diagnoses can often overlap at the start, or the symptoms seem to be the same. And then the second major issue, Dr. P, is access to therapy. So delay diagnosis is number one, and access to treatments is number two. We've had a huge improvement in the treatments that we've had in myeloma. I've been a myeloma doctor for 25 years. I've never seen anything like even just the last couple of years. We've doubled, if not tripled, the survival of our patients because of these great new therapies. But they're only great if you get them. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting them, then they're not that great. And sadly, we've seen that African-American patients are less likely to get the combination treatments. They're less likely to get the transplants. They're less likely to get the CAR T-cell therapies. They're less likely to get the clinical trials.
You know, Dr. Joe, I want to talk a little bit about treatment, because when I'm in your space, I just really get excited about the advancements in treatment, just like you are. And I want you to try to talk about treatments in a way that my family can understand, because we are not familiar with these long 26, 27 letter words, you know. I'm a public health scientist, and I can't even pronounce these long words. But we need to know, when we go to the doctor, and we know that access, I don't care what we're talking about, what public health challenge we have, what disease challenge we have, talking to our doctor and knowing what to ask for, knowing, you know, going into the doctor with some information is so important for us, because so often we are not even offered the available treatment that's advanced for us. So break it down to us, Dr. Joe. Tell us, what should we know when we go into our doctor's office?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can answer that question in two ways, Dr. P. Number one, for someone who we don't know if they have or don't have myeloma, when you talk to your doctor, it is so important to share with them the symptoms that you have, the basic symptoms that are affecting you every day. Sometimes we're just tired a little bit one day and it goes away. That's not a big deal. But the ones that we worry about in myeloma are when people have pain, especially if it's in their back or in their bones, that really persists and just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse no matter what. We all get pain here and there. But when you got that persistent pain, when you have fatigue that really is way out of keeping, or if your doctor has told you somehow that either your kidneys aren't 100% or that your red blood cell count, you know, which gives us oxygen in our bodies, is low. So if you have any of those four things, that pain, that fatigue, that blood count, that kidney function, any of those things exist, you need to talk to your doctor about, could this be myeloma? We don't want to scare people thinking that everybody's got myeloma. It's not a very common cancer, but it is more common in our population. And so we want to be able to catch it. So number one is know those signs and symptoms. We just did a big public campaign with Ice-T. We were on a huge board in Times Square for the first week of Black History Month, telling people, know the signs, know the symptoms, talk to your doctor. Number two is if you do have myeloma, and I pray for you that you'll do well, because we know that people can do well when given the right treatments. You know, I said before, African-American patients with myeloma don't do as well as white patients, but we know if given access to the therapies, they can do even better. Survival is even better in our population if they have access to therapies. It's so important to talk to your doctor about what is available to you. We know that this is a cancer where we give some kind of treatment that reduces those cancer cells in our bodies. And those cancer cells live in our bone marrow, the factory of our blood. And we can give these amazing new treatments that hit the bad cells and actually don't hit very many of the good cells. It's really remarkable. When you hear chemotherapy, you think bald and barf, right? That's what we typically think of. But most of our treatments in myeloma now don't even cause that. They can actually really just hit the bad cells and leave the good cells behind. And you're right. Sometimes that doesn't even get offered to patients, but we should have access to those things. And if your doctor doesn't have it, we'll help you at myeloma.org. We'll find a way to get you connected to myeloma doctors who are familiar with the diagnosis and who can take care of you. Because at the end of the day, you and your family are the most important advocate to fight for your own health. We have amazing treatments now that we didn't even have 5-6 years ago. And we want to make sure that every patient gets the best treatment possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that, Dr. Joe, I think that we've touched on everything. We've touched on treatment. And through that, we've touched on health equity. We're talking about the gaps that we see in terms of access. And African Americans have twice as much multiple myeloma as white folks do. What else? We've talked about what is multiple myeloma. I don't want to leave nothing undone. What else have we not mentioned that you think is so important?
As you know, we've created a program at the International Myeloma Foundation called the M-Power Project, which is a bit of a play on words. It stands for Myeloma Power. And the goal of this project is three things, Dr. P. Number one, to engage the community. We want people to know how this disease affects the African-American community, whether we're in churches, in barbershops, in fraternities, in sororities, in community centers. I'm going, like yourself, all over the country to talk to people about what myeloma is so that they can know the signs, know the symptoms, talk to their doctors. Goal number two is to educate our primary care world. You know, the diagnosis doesn't get made by a myeloma expert, really. The diagnosis gets triggered by that conversation that you and I talked about with the primary care doctor. And it's so important that we have a primary care doctor. Some people think, oh, you know, until I feel really bad, I'm not going to go to my primary care. We need to go to our primary care doctors regularly, get checkups. And they need to know how to make the diagnosis of myeloma. So I spend a lot of time teaching doctors about myeloma so that they know that it affects the African-American community more. And then thirdly, lastly, is to enhance the care of our patients so that access is had. We want the myeloma doctors and nurses and pharmacists and others to give the best care possible to every patient so they can understand how to care for every patient, in particular patients that have historically been left out of these great treatments like African-American patients. To give you an example, I work with the National Medical Association, and we are working with minority medical students, many from historical Black colleges and universities, to train them in myeloma and health disparities so they can understand the gap, so they can understand why their outcomes are, have been historically so poor, and find ways to solve it. So we can create myeloma doctors in the future that represent this community in the community and care for them the best way possible. Because I think that's going to be the path to success. It's engaging the community, the medical community, and the myeloma community all together so that we can overcome this terrible disease.
Okay, I promise you, this is the last question. I'm serious. This really is the last one. Tell us about the Multiple Myeloma Foundation.
The International Myeloma Foundation. We're based in Los Angeles, but we are truly international. We're all over the world. People can learn about us at myeloma.org. So myeloma.org. We even have a phone number there if you prefer to call. We have an info line. And our work is to bring the myeloma community together to develop these great therapies. We host what's called the International Myeloma Working Group, which is about 300 myeloma experts across the whole planet, where patients can talk to others and their care partners can be supported through this journey. Because myeloma is not a sprint, it's a marathon, and we want to support people through it. We do research, we do education, as I've mentioned, and advocacy so that we can have the best outcomes for our patients. And it's just a privilege to be a part of that community, Dr. P. I'm so thankful to be involved with the foundation and to lead our Empower project that is really dedicated to improving the short and long-term outcomes of African-Americans with myeloma, and to partner with great people like yourself and a wonderful organization like the Balm of Gilead that can really have the impact right at the community level. You know, the old school way of thinking was you only ever go to a hospital when you're super sick. You only ever contact anybody to do with the healthcare system when you're sick. But now I think the tables are being turned. We as healthcare providers and healthcare institutions need to reach out into the community. And that's why I believe so much in the work you're doing.
Well, family, you've heard it. You've heard it. We are so happy to have my friend, the Balm and Gilead's friend, my friend. He's just a good friend, Dr. Joe McHale, with us, the Chief Medical Officer of the International Myeloma Foundation. Now, listen, family, we've given you a lot of information today. I mean, Dr. Joe has just given it to you. And I'm sure you that you weren't able to write so fast, but you can play this podcast over and over and over and over again. You could send it, because I know each and every one of you know somebody who needs to hear this message. So send the podcast directly to them. Send it out. Play it over and over and over again. Don't forget to keep Dr. Joe on your prayer list. A brother is moving fast. He is moving fast. He is trying to save a whole bunch of folks. And guess what? He needs some strength and courage too. Dr. Joe, thank you so much. We're going to keep you in our prayers, because guess what? You be a bomb in Gilead. And we'll thank you. You tarried with us just a little while longer.
Absolutely. My pleasure to join you, my friend. And I appreciate the prayers. I believe in it. And I'm so thankful for you.
Amen. Amen. Listen, family, you know I got to go. It's time to jump. It's time to jump. It's time to jump. You know I'm busy, 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 and gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. We'll see you next Thursday right here where it's Thursday. It is and always will be Dr. P on the pod. Peace.